The pandemic has changed the way scientific information spreads. More than ever, the general public is getting involved. Side Effects Public Media's Farah Yousri reports this can come at a cost.
Traditionally, scientists studying drug treatments conduct research and submit the results to a scientific journal for peer review. This helps ensure the study's accurate before it gets published. Problem is, the process can take months, even years. This happened during the Ebola epidemic in West Africa. Dr. Andrew Hill is a pharmacology researcher at Liverpool University in the UK. He says scientists came up with very powerful treatments, but
the scientists wanted to wait and get them published in a peer-reviewed journal. Now, during that waiting time, more and more people were dying of Ebola.
The experience made scientists eager to share life-saving research more efficiently. Then COVID hit. Some of the early critical research about the virus came out quickly because it was published on what's known as preprint platforms. These websites post scientific studies that aren't yet peer-reviewed. Michelle Avisar-Whiting is the editor-in-chief of Research Square. She says the studies must pass a basic screening.
That just entails that the paper is broadly a scientific communication. It's not pseudoscience. You know, the authors are real people.
And the preprint study can be posted within days, which helps get the word out. But it also means anyone can access these studies, including those who don't understand the limitations of unvetted work. Take a study that Research Square published on ivermectin last year. It was the largest clinical trial on the use of the drug to treat COVID, and it showed promising results. Dozens of other studies were posted around the same time, and that caught the attention of Hill, the researcher at Liverpool.
We had Zoom calls with 20 or 30 countries all pooling all their data and saying, oh, in my country it's working, look at this study. And we did a big meta-analysis and we said, well, the evidence seems very clear that the treatment seems to work.
But meta-analyses are only as good as the studies they're based on. Not long after, Hill discovered major inconsistencies and potential fraud in some of the trials he based his analysis on. He retracted it and put out another, saying ivermectin does not work for COVID. And that's when the online harassment began.
I was given death threats on the internet. I was told that I was going to be killed, I was going to be shot. Pictures of coffins, warnings that my family would be affected. So very serious threats happening on a daily basis.
Anti-vaccine groups accused him of being a sellout to Big Pharma. Jennifer Reich is a sociologist at the University of Colorado, Denver. She says the problem is preprint studies are now everywhere, popping up on your uncle's social media feed and that WhatsApp group your grandma's in. When studies that turn out to be flawed are removed, they can still hold power in those spaces. Reich says that's because while some understand retractions are a normal part of the scientific process, others see it as censorship.
Some people want to look at that and say that legitimate scientific knowledge is being buried or hidden for political reasons.
Now, stronger safeguards to catch flawed preprint studies before they wreak havoc could help. But Reich says the problem in the U.S. is much deeper.
You know, the thing about COVID and I think any infectious disease is that they don't necessarily create new problems, but they magnify the problems we already have.
Problems like the politicization of public health or the fact that mistrust of experts is at an all-time high and the increased emphasis on personal choice when it comes to health. She says if those issues aren't addressed, misinformation about ivermectin may fade, but don't be surprised when new, unproven scientific claims take their place. I'm Farah Yousri, Side Effects Public Media.